At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Tuesday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, SportsZone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online. And at our website, stevebick.com. And I suppose some of you that are Horned Frog fans, you might still be sitting in front of the television staring blankly. I watched at least 6 minutes of that game. I don't have a lot of interest anyway, but and I wouldn't have had more if it was Alabama or whoever. But it was funny. I watched the Colgate Army game, the basketball game, and Colgate did not play well, but managed to pull it out and win. They won like 20 straight against Patriot League foes. So then I said, "Oh, let me go see what's happening in the championship game." I literally turned it on as Georgia scored again and made it 31-7. That's all I need to see. And then this morning, I clicked on the Georgia TCU link there on Twitter, 60 whatever the hell it was, 61 to, oh my God. Yeah. I felt bad, actually, that's what it is. I mean, that's what happens. Same thing in our, same thing in racing. Our game is, you got the same, you build up, you look forward to a spot, and, expect to be competitive or hope to be, and, sometimes you walk away shell-shocked, like, what the hell just happened? So there isn't any of us. Same thing, horseplay. Same thing. You get to a certain juncture, and you say to yourself, going into a nightcap, let's say, of expecting to, you're going to cash a ticket, and then you stare at the race runs, and you're like, oh my God, what happened? That was like that. The horse that John talked about yesterday. I thought that was interesting. In fact, if you were just listening to the replay, you got a chance to hear the return of John White. And, John, if you didn't know, John plays. John bets and is not afraid to, peel a few off the wad, as you could tell. So that the effect, I'll bring it up maybe with Andy later too. Now that I'm thinking about it, I should write that down. That insurance, we haven't had that insurance conversation in a long time about getting to the end of a sequence and being live to a certain portion of the field. And it has to be for substantial money. It's not. If it's a meat and potatoes run of the mill scenario, a few hundred or even, I suppose you could scale it. I guess four figure scores. I guess you could scale it. Throw a few, $20 win, $50 win type. Smaller. Yeah, I guess that's true. I shouldn't make a blanket statement like that it doesn't, that if it's a smaller potential score. But there's several schools of thought to it. Some people say don't ever bother. But there's certain, I remember even being aware, it's funny because the Magna 5 coast to coast conversation that'll now percolate here through April, through what we for a long time referred to as Magna 5 season. That, in fact, I didn't, now I'm going to have to look Jessica Martini will join us. We got kind of a loose and free morning here, actually. Andy later, of course. Papa will check in with, see how his weekend was on form to win play. Expect a couple of other visitors. Jess will be here to talk about day one of the sale. The numbers were a little off, but it's hard to, after one day with this kind of sale, it's kind of hard to draw any major conclusions, but there were some very interesting results. Not the least of which is the Chet and Mary Broman. You know, for a husband and wife that are leaving the game, that are supposedly winding down, they keep buying horses. they don't seem to be demurring the way it was presented. That seems to me. Maybe I'm wrong. I just occurred to me. I'm just seeing some pieces of paper emerging from the desk. We won't talk to David Hill until Thursday, but David wrapped up his coverage of the regular season in the NFL. Congratulations to David. Had a good finish despite the week being kind of a weird week. For At the Races listeners, the games that he pushed, the specific, you know, typically five or six games a week, he ended up 59-46-3. So 13 games over 500. Pretty outstanding job by Dave. And actually, I didn't add up his season total. Of course, we sort of missed. There was one week there, you know, vacation week not included. I mean, I forwarded the column, but we didn't have plays, obviously, between Christmas, you know, leading up to New Year's weekend. And also on the football health front, obviously you read, the positive news when it comes to Hamlin. There's also somewhat positive news waiting to get specific more details, but for those of you that contributed to the Jory Scriber fund, which is in the mid-20s now, she was moved out of ICU. So that's, you know, that's just good news, just because she comes out of the intensive care unit. We're still waiting for, you know, further details. Maybe I'll reach back out to get... Maybe her sister. Sister's been providing updates on Facebook and at the GoFundMe. It didn't seem like she's regained feeling yet in her legs at all. So that not great, obviously. But we'll get an update anyway. The sale conversation with Jess and. I managed here to somehow derail what I was heading toward. I've got some other recapping I do want to do, and that includes a couple of the some of the regional action. We've got to get the fairgrounds and actually Delta. You know, Delta too. Delta had stakes on Friday and Saturday, and I was delighted actually. Empire of Gold, who you know I was a fan of going into that Breeders' Cup at Keeneland 3 years ago, and he ran fine, he ran well, and then it then kind of seemed to I don't know, struggle a little bit to go forward as he became an older horse. He's now six. He turned six on the first, and he won the Samstown. On Saturday, I was pleased to see that, and he won it like a champ. He beat that 3-5 favorite of Amador Sanchez, Super Ocho. Completely ran away from him, passed him, and kind of stalked and under Lane Leslie, and won off. So that was kind of cool. I was happy to see that for Terry Off, and his partner Johnny Evans, the Golden Sense. Still a horse too. He's an entire horse. And actually, I should mention the the corresponding sprint, the Orleans, too, on Friday night. My Destiny as the 2-1 favorite for the Walensky's. Herman and Sam Walensky. This is a homebred of Walensky's. Majestic Perfection. And she's now 6 years old herself, My Destiny. Came over from Florida to compete in the on the Sabine Sand at beautiful Delta Downs. So there you go. Get that out of the way. But I was particularly pleased for, not that I wasn't pleased for the Walensky's, but I was particularly happy about Empire Gold winning because I'm a fan. Yeah, they don't have to be huge stars for you to follow them, to get excited and you know, start following them. They can be, you know, a horse like that, that just, you know, sort of a regional, you know, a regional interest. I guess I went off in this direction. I might as well, I might reach out to Ben Colebrook. That's a good idea, actually. How about him? The first time starter that he put out, Scooby Quando. Andrew and Rainya Warren. This is a, are we not supposed to say China Horse Club anymore? CHC. Uncle Mo Colt, that looks like was a reasonable purchase of $160,000 by the Warrens, and is out of Daveron. Remember the German mare? That was, Team Valor mare, Daveron, right? I'm almost positive. And wins at first asking at Turfway in the preview. Very interesting. Won by a neck, and actually went favored, which is interesting in itself, that the money, it's not like the, you know, the works were okay. It's not like there was one 46-4 bullet at Keeneland getting ready for this beginning of December. Yeah, and actually, Colebrook's had a few nice recent winners that I've noticed. So maybe a Ben Colebrook visit is in order. Who was on board? Louis Machado, right? Yeah. It's Luan, L-U-A-N. As opposed to L-U-I-S, Luan. We got to slip in. There was also some small stakes. I tried to get Marcus Hirsch. He was tied up on Friday, so we didn't get a chance to talk fairgrounds. But of course, we're getting ready, and they'll draw this. They'll draw that LeCompte card. I'm going to guess on they'll over the weekend, right? Yeah, over this weekend. They will draw the first of the big fairgrounds weekends, and the LeCompte Silver Bullet Day, of course, gets the 3-year-old fillies running, the Louisiana, the Krantz, the Kenner, and the Colonel Bradley. So first big day, and isn't Shap going to be down there? Yeah, Shap's going to be down there too. So we'll have that'll be next weekend. This weekend's another fairly quiet weekend. You do have the 3-year-olds getting going at Tampa. Got to start to swing into action. I got a very nice text and photo last night. Beamy, Jason Beam. Speaking of Tampa, Beamy's mother is visiting. He's such a good son because he took her to Christino's. Yes. It took him a year, but I made the prediction that Beam was going to become a regular at Tampa and at Christino's. And now he took his mother, and she says, "We're coming back here before I go home." So it obviously scored with Beamy's mother. You got the Pasco and the Gasparilla, the 7 furlong races for the boys and girls. as the road to the Tampa Bay Derby and everything that comes with it. I've been actually, I'm still trying to work out the crazy travel schedule. And Tina confronted me over the weekend. She said, what are we doing about my February break? And we were hoping to go to New Orleans for Risen Star, but it's a disaster. It's Mardi Gras week. You know, usually Mardi Gras is, it's not unusual for it to be, you know, right in proximity. There's been several Risen Stars where I get to town and Mardi Gras was like the day before. Like if I come in on Wednesday, let's say, the Mardi Gras was the day before, and it, you know, that's fine. In this case, Mardi Gras is the Tuesday after Risen Star Day, so hotels are impossible. Flights are, and I mean it's President's Weekend anyway. It's just bad. It's just a confluence of unfortunate. What's that? Lemony Snickets, right? Lemony Snickets series of unfortunate events. Is that what the book is and movie? In fact, Neil Kleinberg reached out to me yesterday, and he said, "Where do you stay in New Orleans?" I said, "Well, you know, when Tina's with me, a lot of times we'll stay in the Garden District. There's that Indigo right there on St. Charles, and within walking distance, and on the right on the you know right on the trolley line on the streetcar line." And then when I'm alone, there's a little hotel, and it always takes me a second to remember the name, that I've stayed at least twice, on the edge of the quarter, toward the Marigny, and that's a sweet little place. And they have a garage, which is a rarity. They have a underground or a you know, some semblance of an underground or whatever garage. So you know when you have a car because I you know you got to go drive to you know to get to the racetrack in, you know in the morning, but so I answered Neil and he said is this going to be a good weekend to go? I said no, it's not a good weekend to go. I mean it'll be a good weekend for those that are you know that are already there and have already you know made their Mardi Gras plans, but. I think it looks like Louisiana Derby for me, you know, a month later. I think that's the ticket. And even that, the situation with the NHC, I mean, I'm fine with being there for March, but it has really complicated things. And I got to go back to New Orleans. We got to go to New Orleans for the HBPA convention. So I don't know. It's a complete type of situation. when it comes to fairgrounds, I'm just reaching here. Where is the? I'm a little bit out of whack here. All right, that I can. I was just reaching for the stakes. They had the race for Gary Palmisano Sr. for G Pal's dad, and it was really. I mean, every one of those. Fairgrounds memorials. They also ran the Bob Wright, and there was that makeup stake as well, the Champions Day turf that they ran. So we'll get to all of that. I know it's here somewhere because everything is here somewhere. I suppose instead of meandering like this, I should bring in the one and only Jessica Martini, who appears to be working the who appears to be. January sale, and just seeing Steve Carlin reached out from Team Valor, and Steve said yes. So good. Oh, and also Steve reported. Thank you, Steve. Said that. Jory is getting some feeling back, and and is feeling her legs somewhat. So that's terrific. Excellent. Excellent. We'll get more detail. Okay. But anyway, Jess is working the sale alone, at least. I mean, the byline, we'll find out, because the byline for the big recap in yesterday's TDN, or actually today's TDN, I should say, was only Jess. So, Jess, they're making you cover everything? You're all alone?
I'm all alone out here, Steve. Send help. And snacks.
I love it. Well, hopefully there's some burgoo, maybe some burgoo for you, and to warm you up.
I've earned it, definitely.
There you go. That's a rib stickler, as they say.
That'll keep me going all day, right?
Yeah, and then later you can maybe brace up with some of that ridiculous bread pudding, which I don't get at all.
Oh no, this could be a problem between us, Steve. You don't like bread pudding.
I don't get. I honestly don't. There's nothing about it. I've made this point.
No.
I don't get it. I'm sorry.
That's horrible. You should not admit that in public.
What is it? What is it that you like about it?
It's just the texture is yummy, and it's comfort food. It's just very comforting. It's warm. I don't know. I enjoy it, Steve.
It's funny because I would say the texture is what I like the least. It's like, and I'm somebody that loves cream of wheat, so it's not like I don't like something mealy. I don't get it. I just
it's got bourbon in it too, right?
Well, that I'll beg yep. off, but but even I don't know. Maybe it's because I don't ever remember. It feels like something my mother would have liked, but I don't ever remember seeing her have order it anywhere, or my father. My father, I've discussed this. He was a sucker for a baked apple, but.
Oh yeah, you have to go to New Orleans and try the bread pudding in New Orleans. I think that's the way to do it. Oof. We'll convert you yet.
Well, if I'm in New Orleans, I'm having Bananas Foster, and
that's true too,
as my dessert. So, and Tina as well. It's funny this comes up, this old school dessert conversation, which is exactly why we called Jessica, by the way.
I'm an expert at dessert. You called the right person.
Well, if you're an expert at dessert, you're going to have to explain to some people how you've got, you're like a rail post. You're tall and slender.
Running. I do a lot of running so I can eat a lot of dessert.
There we go. Listen, everybody, you and Tom Law. Be careful. He'll slap snowshoes on you in a minute or throw you in a kayak. My butcher, Denny Ushak, this came up about desserts from Christmas, and the rice pudding conversation. Now, see, that my father liked, rice pudding.
Similar textures, right? I mean, it's kind of, they're cousins, I would say, in the dessert world.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'm much more of a cake, ice cream, pie.
A traditionalist.
Yeah.
You're a traditionalist.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't,
fair enough.
I don't know. This is we may have to survey people here at the beginning of the year.
I've got some time on my hands at the sale today because I'm all by myself. I'll start surveying people. I'll get on this.
Thank you. I love it. Do that. All right. Let's talk. You know, I had Tony Lacey yesterday for the introduction, not just to this sale, but to sale season. And of course, we're coming off of, another banner year on all fronts, but this sale, Jess, is particularly interesting. This, and of course, coming up at Phasing, it's such a melange of bloodstock between, you know, empty broodmares in foal, their short yearling sometimes by their side, as yesterday's sale stopper was a perfect example. It's a big mix. There's stallion prospects potentially, you know, for people if they want to stand somebody and maybe a regional program. So there's a lot of bellwether stuff that's going on here, and that includes particularly the first crop yearlings, those stallions. It's fun to watch those numbers. And I also think it's interesting to see the covering sires and who is getting some added value. I thought in November, didn't we all kind of conclude that Charlatan was sending out smoke signals?
Charlatan was huge in November, sure thing. Yeah, he was. Everyone wanted a Marin Foal to Charlatan. I think there was one yesterday that I've noticed.
I don't think
he's been well represented yet, but still time for that for him.
Well, and let's get into some of the results and some of the storylines. And it's 4 days, so you'll be following. And just because somebody wasn't necessarily active yesterday doesn't mean they won't end up being at the top of the ledger by the end of the day today and by the end of the sale. But lay out kind of the over wrap going into these 4 days.
Well, going into the sale, we were expecting to kind of see a continuation of the November market because it had been so competitive. There's always going to be that trickle down to people, the pinhookers who didn't get weanlings in November are going to be shopping here. And we saw some of that. And also we talk about the strength of the stallions that are going to stud this year and people needing to fulfill orders for mares for those new stallions. So we expected that to kind of continue. I think everyone was a little surprised when yesterday's session started off slowly, and the high RNA rate was very high, and it seemed very sluggish. But throughout the day, it picked up, and especially with those supplemental entries, the day certainly ended with a bang. With the evocative, she was the second to last horse in the main catalog, and then, as you said, her first foal went through right after her, and they were very popular. And Ack Naughty, who was the dam of Practical Move, who just won the Los Alamitos Futurity. Like those horses with the current form, the young horses with so much potential, they're always going to be in demand. And that was how the day ended yesterday.
I not to take away from Kerry Radcliffe's purchase, she didn't disclose who the mare is going to.
She did not disclose, for what it's worth, she was standing next to the Coolmore team and talking to them. Take away from that what you will, but she did not disclose who the buyer was.
Well, I mean, you look at those numbers, and between the mare and the baby, it was $1 million, and sold by Bedouin. This feels like a very clever, mare to get out in front of. Given that she's a half sister to Just Whistle Dixie, who's been a complete success.
Yeah, and even Jacob West, who purchased the foal for the Lowe's, he talked about that this mare is going to be bred to top stallions going forward. So there is a lot to look forward to in the pipeline with this mare as an investment with her foal. That she's just going to have one good fool after another, the expectation is, because they're breeding her to top stallions. So he's looking ahead at that as well.
Well, and that's an inside, another inside baseball kind of a storyline, which is, looking down the road and understanding, when you're going to spend, let's say, $550,000 on the mare, $450,000 on the short yearling, and this being a filly, it's a good family, and there's potential for that baby's page to just keep getting enhanced, for down the road. I mean, the Lowe's tendency is to race their horses, but it's kind of an interesting business model projection, basically.
Sure. Yeah, the residual value there, it could be huge. Yeah.
I got to bring up the second you mentioned Ack Naughty, and I just keep laughing every time Chet and Mary Broman, who supposedly were leaving the business or winding down, every time I look up, they're writing checks for big checks for more broodmares. Like, wait a minute, which direction are you going, Chet?
I did ask Becky Thomas. She signed for Ack Naughty for the Bromans, and I did ask her that. I said, how does this fit into the estate planning, was what they called it when they started selling off from their longtime families. And she said, well, as long as the business can be run you know, logically and turn a profit, then they're willing to keep going. So take that for what that's worth.
I love it. I love it. Let's kind of jump around too and see about some of the other top numbers in terms of, let's see, between Evocative is in fold, Equality Road, Act Naughty is carrying an upstart. There was Catherine Park bought that 7-year-old Olympic Glory mare Quick, who's carrying a Medaglia d'Oro, $360,000. McLean's Music has got a baby inside of Good Fairy. That MWW Racing and Breeding. Who is that?
That is actually, I found out, Alistair Roden is a Bloodstock agent. He is buying for a man called Pete Williams, and he's just starting to get into the business. He and his daughter Martha, for the last year, they've just started buying, and they have not had a starter yet. Their plan is to breed and race, and he is a Florida real estate developer. So very exciting to see new people like that get into the game. They seem very excited by the purchase.
How about that? And we can't get enough of those types. That's always a good modifier on people coming into the business. Real estate developer. We like those.
I think he has his oldest horse that he has now is a 3-year-old. He bought her at a 2-year-old in training sale, and she is with Mark Cassie. So hopefully he'll get off to a good start with this filly, and it'll only encourage him to buy more mares in the future.
Outstanding. I do see the first notable new stallion as a covering stallion was Maxfield with that 10-year-old Just Talkin'. She went for $320,000 to Woodford, carrying the Maxfield baby.
Yeah, I think that was the only Maxfield in foal mare that I saw yesterday. So, but that's a good sign for him as well. He should be very popular.
Well, I'm sure you were following some of the notable short yearlings, and it may be a coincidence that the top seller among, not the top seller, but one of the top sellers, and in terms of TDN, a Muirfield Nothing But Net feature, was Hip 89, the Volatile Colt, out of Martini.
I want to name that horse so badly.
What are you going to name her?
I don't know, but there is a great name in there, isn't there? There has to be a great name in there.
Volatile Martini, shaken, shaken
yes.
up.
Yes, he was brought by Devont Latham, so probably a pinhooking prospect there. So we might get a chance to buy him again in September.
Well, you know, and that's...
And then I can name him.
All right, you've got to put the lien on. We'll see who buys. And you bring up an important point on the yearlings, the short yearlings. There was such a frenzy, a buying frenzy, back in September. And there's obviously still time. There's people that probably have got some coffers yet to be utilized. And I'm sure that one option is buy a short yearling and let them grow. Doesn't cost much to keep one up until September, and wait until July or August.
Yeah, you've shortened the catalog, or the calendar here, doing January instead of November. And yesterday, actually talking about First Crop Sires, McKenzie sold really well to Peter
yes.
Pugh, who's sold for $220,000, and his Peter Pugh is going to pinhook him later in this year. And Peter actually had success last January. He bought a Gunrunner for I think it was around $250,000, and sold in September for $450,000. So he's done this before.
Well, that's for Cherry Knoll,
Peter
handles their business. Since we went in went in that direction, let me pull up. Let me go back to the summary. And one thing that's hard about this sale is because it's such a hodgepodge in terms of between broodmare prospects, broodmare in foal, and then the short yearlings, you got to kind of jump around to find.
You've got to pay attention.
Exactly. And then also, you know, you go through, like when I shift things like, sire or covering sire and then, the pricing and so forth, to kind of find everybody and see if there's anything, if there's anything notable, about the results. That's part of, frankly, it's part of the fun of these visits, right?
I don't know. I like the two-year-old sales. They're simpler. I don't have to think as hard.
Exactly, right? Well, I'm just thumbing back through. I'd looked through the covering mares, but not as much of the short yearlings.
Mackenzie had a couple good sales yesterday.
Oh, you know what we should ask? I do see Image of Noon, the Disco Rico, that sold for next to nothing, actually. How was day one of the dispersal, of the Generazio dispersal?
This is an interesting dispersal just because of the kind of lesser-known stallions. I think that's going to hold that back a bit.
Well, see, to me, then if that's the mentality, and particularly for those that are looking to build a broodmare band and do it, reasonably, I can bring this up with Sid tomorrow. How would you not want to plug in to Frank and Patricia Generazio's, fountainhead here the last decade? Of everything. Pretty much everything they were sending out was a success on the racetrack.
Yeah, but it almost seems like an aberration. I mean, especially if you're a commercial breeder, you can't really rely on that going forward.
No. If you
wanted to breed to race, obviously that would be a different story as well.
Exactly. I mean, that would be that exactly right. I mean, that part of it. And I'm just looking. Here was day one, and it looks like there were about 10. Actually, one came out. That's interesting. Prudent Song came out. But the top seller was Mischievous Dream by Into Mischief. So there's your storyline that you touched on. And this is actually, this is the family of Precious Passion of theirs, of course, going back to Princess's Passion, the wonderful Mary Hartman trainee for them. That was the top seller, 210 for Rapoli.
Right, and I believe she's could be a race. She's still racing, right? That's
yes.
Got the right mare in my mind. Okay, yes.
So, yeah. Yep.
So I think that also brings up the point of that current form is so popular in the sales ring these days. Anything that you've done recently is valued very highly.
Wow. I mean, here's look at this. Here's one of their short yearlings. And I did ask Christoph yesterday if anything was going to remain, if Patricia was going to, campaign a few more, just play out the string. And he said no. So here's a short yearling by McLean's Music out of Cape Cod Carroll, who was a hell of a nice racehorse. Wow. $9,000?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Elizabeth Barr, Turk's Head Turf. $9,000 for that one. And then the other, there was a Golden Sense Colt. That's a filly too, so that one's got the family, the Generazio blood. And then the other short yearling was a Golden Sense Colt to Tallulah for $85,000 out of Wave of Glory. And then the mares, I mentioned Image of Noon. Yeah, the $40,000 for the Midshipman mare, Wave of Glory, who's in full. Four of them were in full to Disco Partner.
Right. It's going to probably hold you back a little bit in the sales ring. And I think these were also the top ones. I think after that, we go into book two, and it'll probably fall down a little bit from there even.
Huh. Well, I'm just saddened by...
So if you want a bargain, Steve,
yeah,
this could be your time.
Well, we've got our hands full, to be honest, Jess. What truth be told, with our two mares is enough, and three babies. All right. Well, today, any highlights that you're watching and tracking?
You know, I'm kind of interested in a horse in the supplemental section. She just turned three, Ancient Peace, who's goes back to that Samson Farm breeding, and she was purchased by Mike Ryan at Saratoga in 2021. And I think the expectation was to pinhook her, but they didn't get her into a two-year-old sale. And she just broke her maiden at Santa Anita at the end of December. And she was supplemented to the January sale. So I think she kind of ticks a lot of boxes with the great pedigree that she's had. She's by Warfront out of Deceptive Vision, and just winning and being a newly turned three-year-old. I think she should be a highlight.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. We'll see who else... from the buying bench side, anything notable for you?
I think just a continuation of what we've been seeing with a very strong domestic buying bench. There were a couple Japanese buyers yesterday, but mostly domestic buyers.
Well, we'll be getting started in about 20 minutes. And if you see Jess out there, buy her lunch and then buy her dessert later.
And bread pudding.
get one of those little cups, that little cuppy thing, and bring it over. And a little bit of cream, right, to put on top.
Is that absolutely?
Is that what you do? All right.
Yep.
I will trust you on this front.
I'll convert you someday, Steve.
Not to that, you won't. There's things I'm eligible to be converted for, but bread pudding's not going to be one of them.
I'll see what we can do.
Jessica Martini, everybody. It's always a good time for a martini when it's Jess Martini of the Thoroughbred Daily News. And have you seen Sid?
Not yet, no.
I think Sid's there. He's supposed to be
there. All right, I'll keep an eye out.
All right, we'll talk to Sid tomorrow about the sale. Jessica Martini, thank you. Have a great year. Happy, healthy.
Thanks, Steve.
I love it. Jessica Martini, such a good sport to put up with my nonsense, and as all of you are. I think we're going to get an early visit, maybe, from Andy Serling. He sent me a flare. That he said I could come on at any time, which means he wants to get it out of the way. I am supposed to reach. Who am I missing? That we talked about. Robertino Diodoro, who won his 3,000 wins, and the Pippin. So we're going to see about checking in with him as well. And I owed Phil D'Amato a call. We talked to McCarthy yesterday. That was fun. That was fun. I peppered MWM. Speaking of the three-year-old front, the figs, it took a while for the figs to come up yesterday from the Sunday action, and 95 for Reincarnate, which is a solid number. That's a nice jumping off point out of that sham. And I want to say a 70... 79? I thought I saw it. Usually these numbers stick in my head. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But I thought I 70-something. 74 for Ice Dancing. And I mean, she kind of won as she pleased for Mandela. Ice Dancing. So that was the... the 2 3-year-old races, and I do want to catch up actually with Sid on the pedigree conversation. This is certainly for Good Magic, and another have a new face added to the roster of stake winners. So probably it was actually a terrific. Weekend for and steak week last week, first week of the year for Hillendale with Reincarnate as well. And there's the horse. You know what race we did not, I never got to last week. And let me see if I know I have it because I have everything. This is always, these first 2 weeks is always tough because having been away, between Christmas and New Year, I still basically, print everything up and try to keep track. But then at a certain point, it begins to get away from me. But the parks, those stakes at parks, the Army Mule winner of the juvenile, recruiter for Cal Lynch. This is a horse I think you're gonna be hearing from yet. And of course, this the stake was supposed to take place before the calendar changed, but that's all right. Doesn't matter, does it? All that much. A week, and I just want to. I'm not finding it here. Son of a gun! It was the day of the. In fact, I heard from first thing this morning. Our man, the Maven, David, good friend, he's been up early these last few mornings, and he was. he was asking questions. He wanted answers this morning. He was asking about that pick five at Parks, and I told him what I knew, which wasn't a whole lot, but recruiter and Cal Lynch. This is an Army Mule colt out of Medaglia d'Oro mare that. Lynch co-owns with the Nick Santa Stables, and he won with authority, 7/8. So it'll be interesting to see what they're going to do next with him. I'm curious. In fact, we heard from, who did I hear from that's involved? It might have been the Legion, maybe the Legion team that might have sold this horse. And you know, had been away since the win at Laurel. Yeah, this is this horse has got upside. So mark that down on your horses to watch list. It's always fun to, try to get out in front. 80. Did I give you the number? 86 buyer. And we should mention Butchie Reed, Butch Reed. Is winning consistently. He won the filly race, filly by the name of Girl Trouble, and she romped at even money. Interpolate was the nearest, from a price standpoint, was the nearest competitor. This is, his Butchie's principal, Swilkin and LC Racing, and a fast Anna filly, Jersey bred, no less. Won the girls' race, and did we go over those other three stakes? Repo Rocks, who found new life in the Greg DePrima barn over the course of last year, and then got collared Jamie Ness, and wins the Blitzen with Wolfsent, and that Empire House, Jonathan Wong. And we're going to be seeing. I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of Jonathan Wong and those Tommy Town horses. It's going to be interesting as they make their way into the eastern half of the country, and then riding with Biden, who Butchie manages to place well with Paco, won the Kris Kringle Empire House won the Mrs. Claus. That was on, that was Wednesday, I think, right? Yeah, Wednesday. But the one that's the most intriguing is definitely Recruiter. So I'll keep an eye. It's going to go into the new 3-year-old pile. So we will talk to Robertino Diodoro in just a few minutes as well. And when I take a break, we'll see what we'll make a decision on what we're doing with Andy. See when. You tell us, when do you want to see Andy? Did we do? Yeah, with John, I guess we touched on it, and I did ask Clement about that breathe away. He seems pretty excited and thinks highly. He said he's had a lot of success with those bated breath horses. But the two stakes, there was Arno Delacour with Mark Grier and Candidate. They won the Dania, and then there was the girls' race that we mentioned in passing as part of the Coast to Coast, Cairo Consort, Pletcher, Rapoli, Town and Country. Those were the Gulfstream Stakes. I don't know if I should save this or not. There was I can't even remember back to yesterday, for God's sakes. Is how addled I am. The three year old from Dale. That's going to go in the 3-year-old pile. Cyclone Mischief. Yet another, you know, that is going to make me, we got a couple of minutes here until I take the break. That is going to make me take a look I want to go back to the Kentucky Jockey Club, because this winner, this Cyclone Mischief, and you know, part of the fun at this time of year is tracking this kind of thing. Here you go. Well, I gotta wind it down. There we go. Cyclone Mischief. All right. The Kentucky Jockey Club. Instant Coffee. And Curly Jack. Hayes Strike. Red Root 1. Dennington. Gigante, and then Cyclone Mischief. So he was seventh, and was only beaten, even though he was seventh, he was only beaten 2 3/4 lengths, and comes right back and wins out of that with a 90 buyer. So I would be very intrigued to watch for the other horses that are coming out of here. Hayes Strike ran at Fairgrounds on Boxing Day and was an okay fourth. And Dennington ran in that stake on opening day, on New Year's Eve, I should say, at Oaklawn, and was a good third. So, I mean, Curly Jack, obviously, we all, you know, Curly Jack is established, we know, but Red Root 1 and Gigante both finished ahead of Cyclone Mischief in, you know, sometimes when you have a concentrated finish and you have that many horses bunched up, you know, the tendency is to think, well, the race was just okay, but we know that it was more than okay, essentially. So, I mean, Instant Coffee got an 82 buyer winning this, and so Cyclone Mischief moves ahead. Gigante is an Asmussen Not This Time colt. And Red Root 1 also Asmussen. And that one, a gun runner from Team Winchell. Oh, speaking of Team Winchell, did you see the updated x-rays from DJ Fisk that I retweeted last night? It's funny because I had run into at the sale November, one of the afternoons, ran into a DJ coming in, and he showed me the fracture that Epicenter had suffered, and he put up the most recent, and you can see how beautifully it you know, they got the two screws in, and you can see that it knitted beautifully. So he'll and it, you know, it's important. You think to yourself, oh well, okay, yeah, he's retired, we understand that, because the but there's a physical element, a very physical element. In fact, we should get Dr. Alday for this. There's a very physical element to covering mares, and getting that thing to heal properly. And they there wasn't any projection that it wouldn't, but still, that's a big element. So good to see on that front. But anyway, print yourself out that chart. Let's take a look at the horse that Freedom Trail is the John Terranova that actually was pretty well bet in the Kentucky Jockey Club and sort of chased the pace and then was passed late by some tiring, you know, as he was tiring. This is our friend Matt Gatsis and the Gatsis family and Randy Hill as well involved in the collected colt, who actually was a May foal and did quite a bit for a May foal. Ran September, October, November. Next time we talk to John Terranova, well, we should see what his plan is with Freedom Trail. It's a good name too, actually, Freedom Trail. So I like that. All right. Anything else from Gulfstream? I'll save that for. We got to get Dale. Got a chance to have Dale Bromans. We're not going to pass that up. I'll tell you who else I'm going to mention in this same setting, because he's off to a good start. And it's just funny when the tendency is obviously for us to track, you know, stake results. But in the course of, you know, looking at charts and results, you also, you know, take note of, you know, of people that are winning, with whatever kind of horses, you know, maidens and allowance horses, even claiming horses. And Chris Davis, has caught my eye. He had a couple of maiden winners on Saturday, if you didn't see this. That Mooncat, who I thought was, you know, pretty, I think everybody kind of thought, and came running late, was ridden with great confidence by Errat Ortiz. But he also had Jose win on a horse of his at a price. Mooncat was one of the favorites, and that was part of the Coast to Coast. But Royal Mendy, a Mendelssohn for Gary Broad, this is a homebred Gary Broad's that he produced with Walmack out of a Malibu Moonmare, paid $19.40. That was earlier on the card. So Chris Davis off to a nice start with his string at Gulfstream. Two wins, in fact, two wins in the first seven starters of the year. 2 for 7. And I think even at the end of last year, he was. I saw. There you go. End of at Gulfstream on the 28th. Cloudy Bay won a maiden race. So he's won with three starters, with three of his last, I don't know, eight or nine starters. Chris Davis, good job. I haven't talked to him in a while. So we're getting close to the top of the hour. Let's take the break, actually, Case. Let's head to the break. Robertino Diodoro is going to join us. And it's a nice accomplishment, certainly, to win 3,000 races. Uh-huh. in your career. And he's actually, it's not like he's that old. Right? How old must Deodoro be? But he's been winning races. I mean, with increasing regularity, averaging about 220 wins a year. The last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The last almost 10 years. 191, 223, 242, 257. He had three great years, 18, 19, and 20 were spectacular. Part of that was starters. He had 1,000 starters 3 years in a row, and then kind of trimmed back 100 down to 921, 922. But he's got kind of a far-flung operation. And he trades off in a lot of claimers as well. But he's also done a great job. He's done a great job with certain horses that he's claimed and then has kept them good for. I mean, what he did with Lone Rock was unbelievable. And we talked about it when he won the Brooklyn, or is that 2 years ago? Probably 2 years ago, probably. Yeah, just noticing that, it's one of those situations where an exercise rider says, it comes back and says, "Boss, this horse doesn't get tired." So no matter what I do, how far we go, he just doesn't get tired. Okay, let's try him at a mile and 3/16. Let's try him at a mile and a half. Let's run him in the Trail's End at Oaklawn, a mile and 5/8, mile and 3/4. You don't know, you don't know until you do that, until you try it with him. That was a great story. He's done, right? I'm just looking. His last start was in July. We'll find out. Last time we saw him was at Saratoga. Hasn't worked though, so I don't know. There's also, there's another story to tell or to discuss, which is, this 10-year-old rule. You can't run it past 10 in New York, but you can elsewhere. And he's somebody that gets those kinds of horses. And in fact, coming up this weekend, you got, that's a topic. So, hour one in the books. It's a Tuesday. Got plenty to do. Thanks to Jess Martini to get us going. Take our first break. Come back. Robertino Deodoro, 3,000 winners. And he won the Pippin, too, over the weekend. Talk about that and more. Stay with us.
At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who you betting on?